Hi, everybody. The Bills fall to Houston 23-20. The thing that you learn from watching this league, this team for many years, or maybe even more so hosting these shows, is how you sit here for 3 hours and ultimately come to realize that nothing you've watched for 3 hours really mattered. I mean, it was Houston's game, and your text threads are blowing up with how everything is terrible. And then it almost felt like the Bills game, intentional grounding. What, Bulldog, what did you think would happen after Houston punted, 32 seconds left, 2020, Bills take over at their three?
I was still very worried about them giving the ball back to Houston.
You were.
I was.
I mean, good for you.
Their offense was putrid today. I mean, they just don't have anything going. And the plays they ran there from the end zone showed it. I mean, you're just chucking up a deep, you know, a prayer to Keon Coleman, a prayer to Mac Hollins. I mean, it's very tough. They got exactly what they deserved today. You know, the whole when it started to feel like, you said, I agree. I think it did start to feel like the Bills game. I mean, they forced back-to-back turnovers, or thereabouts anyway, and the second of them coming deep in Houston territory, and they're like, okay, maybe they're going to escape here with a win that really I wouldn't say they deserved. And instead, you know, they stalled there again, managed to tie the game. But yeah, I was nervous. I didn't want them to turtle there. You know, I think you should still try to win the game. But I wasn't optimistic that it would work. And frankly, was maybe at least mildly surprised after the penalty on first down that they didn't just run it and try to just try to kick it away and hope that they ate enough clock so that Houston wouldn't be able to get him at the end.
So the penalty was declined, right?
Right.
The Coleman penalty?
Yeah, which makes sense. They're at the 3-yard line, so, you know, why back them up a yard and a half and give them another down?
Was it good math? I mean, Houston's gambit when they had the intentional grounding and they were ultimately proved correct was that they could make a 60-yard field goal. And so I want to figure out just sort of, it's not intuitive because we're not used to 60-yard field goals being good math.
Right.
But Houston wanted that, and the second time around, they get it. And if the Bills take over at their three with Josh Allen, the play to Coleman to me made sense. And Coleman might have even been thinking, like, I can be physical here, draw a penalty, you know, why not? Mm-hmm. And at that point, they're two plays away from the same thing, two good plays away from the same thing. So I don't want to blame them for being aggressive there, but mm-hmm. It's also right that if they run it three times and force Houston into those timeouts, and who knows if Houston is even like sharp enough to use them right away. I don't know. But they probably should. I mean, they should. Yeah. They probably do. And then when you punt that, you don't give them, I think where it ends up is you don't give them that one extra play
right.
That ultimately might not have even mattered. You know, they get 5 yards on that play before the field goal. Chris Brown's like, it was good from 65. Well, it was 59. So yeah. I don't know if they needed the 5 yards.
Yeah, I don't know either. I want to make sure I'm clear. I support them trying to move the ball and win the game in regulation, even backed up at their 3-yard line. I think both things can be true. Like, I think you need Josh Allen's your quarterback. Go make a play. Maybe you, you know, get the penalty on them. Or something on the Coleman play. So you try, but I was not optimistic about it working because I just don't think they don't have it on offense right now. They certainly didn't have it today. They didn't have it last week. Like, they are lost at sea on offense right now.
9 completions for Allen in a game that went to the wire.
I mean, he did miss a team that I don't think is that good defensively.
Yeah, I was going to just sort of quip that he did miss one play.
Sorry.
But still, 9 for 30? I mean, everybody starves is the new Bills offense. 23-20 Texans. We'll hear from Sean McDermott at the podium. It's brought to you by, when it happens, Northtown Kia, Western New York's #1 Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll get your calls in as well. 716-803-0550. Let's get you quickly now, as we started in this direction, the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. 9 for 30.
131
is that? What did Manuel do in Houston in the J.J. Watt game? I mean, was it 9 for 30?
At least there wasn't a pick six to J.J. Watt in this one. But, yeah, brutal. Just brutal. Cook leads the way, running the ball, 20 for 82 and a score. Josh Allen scrambled four times for 54 yards. I shouldn't say scramble. A couple of those might have been designed runs. Keon Coleman with a beautiful catch and run, 1 for 49 on the day.
Let's go to Josh Allen.
What went wrong in the first half to fall behind?
If you look at it, I mean, we missed by a little bit. Had Mac open early, overthrew him, and then right before the half, too, Dalton running down the seam, had a chance and an opportunity there. We were off slightly tonight. That's something I got to clean up, and I'm proud of how we responded in the second half. Got on our horses and gave ourselves a chance to win a football game.
Josh, can you explain the end of the game? You guys were backed up. You chose to throw it three times there without trying to run some clock there.
Yeah, being aggressive. Coach is going to trust us to go out there and do that. Obviously, we'd love to convert there, and hindsight's 20/20, but yeah.
Josh, what makes you confident that you have enough playmakers on the outside to get the job done?
Well, it starts with making better decisions on my part, and I know didn't complete the ball at a high rate tonight. Put the ball in harm's way, especially early in that first half. But I trust our guys. I know you guys are going to be wild this week, but love my guys, and we're going to keep working. And, you know, this isn't a defining moment in our season. You know, it's a chance to learn and grow from this, and that's what we're going to do.
Josh, it seemed this week you didn't take what the defense was giving you. The running backs in the flat seemed to be open a lot. Was there a reason why it didn't go to check down to the guys in the flat?
We'll take a look at that and use that going forward.
Josh, where would you say if we were to go wild, as you predict that we would, why shouldn't we? What do you see that would...
Let's not base, you know, all this off of one game. I think our guys have been doing a great job, you know, early on in the season, finding ways to get open. Joe's been calling it well. And ultimately, it comes down to me executing at a high level and just didn't do that enough tonight.
Do you think there was a reason guys weren't able to get open today? Like, did anything stand out to you?
Again, I think ball placement at times, I could give them better chances to go make plays. You know, that's kind of what it comes down to. I got to be better.
So much has been made about the Stephon Diggs storyline this week. Did you feel the weight of that at all going into this game or out there?
No, I mean, I think, you know, I'm not on social media. I don't see any of that. Understand he's on their team. He's a great player. He made some good plays tonight for them, and he was on the winning team. And, you know, it came down to a last-second field goal, and it's something that, you know, we're going to have to learn from and grow from.
Joshua, at the end of the game, I know that you said you guys would be aggressive, but at the same time should have been maybe more – I don't want to say conservative, but higher percentage throws. You know, you took three basically deep shots. Those are not as high percentage as maybe just something underneath.
Yeah, I mean, again, hindsight 20/20. We can go back and run it three times, and who knows what the result is going to be. But you know, that's how it played out.
You've had games in the past where you've had a couple games where things didn't go well, a couple losses in a row. Is there anything about this stretch here that feels familiar in the sense of your adds to your belief or maybe any concern about figuring things out?
No, I mean, we got to keep working hard. Good week of practice this week. Learn from this one, wash it, and move on. And that's what we're going to do.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks.
Josh Allen and the Bills lose to Houston at the gun, predicting like he knows that the media will go wild this week. Of course, he wouldn't know because he's not listening, he tells us,
no,
to anything.
No, of course not.
I wouldn't know what you're saying. I just know what it's going to be. Bills 3-2 at the Jets next Monday night. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here to your calls and to Sean McDermott as we continue on post-game coverage. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Looking deep over the middle, and it's picked off by Terrell Bernard at the 19-yard line. Terrell Bernard read C.J. Stroud like a book, and the Bills have the football.
Chris Brown on the call. Terrell Bernard back from injury with a big interception, and that was a great play. Bulldog,
really
you're a super big Bernard guy.
I'm a big Bernard guy, yeah, and like he paid dividends there. That was a very, I thought they did a very good job on the telecast of breaking that down and showing you what Bernard did there. And you know, tough one for Stroud because he doesn't realize Bernard is about to turn around, but he does, and then obviously he's right in the lane there. So, really, elite level play by Bernard there.
I mean, Houston has got to feel like they really got away with one. They had the lead early, of course, but that's with 8:06 left, and they're driving, and they're up three. Then there's the Stroud fumble with 4:21 left, setting the Bills up in field goal range. That's all the Bills get. And then you have the intentional grounding penalty. I mean, that's, you got to appreciate the officials on that. Because that's not one that's like obviously going to be called. Maybe there are lots of plays you can even think of where that wasn't called, but the Bills get that break and then they punt. So that's three times with eight and change left to the end where they kind of blow it and they still win. I mean, that's if you look at it from the Bills standpoint, which we would, I mean, that makes it tougher. Like, I don't know if it was really ever their day. But right. they were given a couple of opportunities to take Houston out. And who knows what eventually this will mean in the standings. I mean, that's the division is still sort of shaping up fine for the Bills with the Jets losing again and Miami struggles. It's a one-game lead. And the Bills are at the Jets next Monday night. But
right.
These conference losses, the Ravens last week, the Texans here, could end up being, you know, huge.
Yeah, tiebreaker time here. You know, I mean, seedings and all of that. So, yeah, especially if, you know, the division is going to be there, I think, for the Bills. But, you know, they could win the division with 10 wins, you know. And then you're probably going to really need tiebreaker help to help your seeding. And you're down already here to a couple of teams that you would expect to be in the race with ultimately. So I got interrupted there by Josh, which, you know, is fine. And it didn't finish the stats, and I just want to squeeze these numbers in. Obviously, they're going to be stark. You know, Allen only completed the 9 passes. We did get to that part. 1 catch on 5 targets for Coleman. 2 on 6 targets for Dalton Kincaid. 2 on 6 targets for Mac Hollins. 0 catches on 3 targets for Marquez Valdez-Scantling. 1 catch on 4 targets, 0 yards
Samuel.
For Curtis Samuel. I mean, this receiving core, I mean, we spent all week. Is this by definition me ramping up to go wild? They're in real trouble out there. I mean, they're in real trouble out there.
What the worst thing about it? This is what they wanted.
Yeah.
It's not an accident. This is what, not that they didn't want that kind of efficiency, but this was their bet.
Yep.
Kincaid, I mean, since day one, get him down the field. Once today, there was an attempt, and a linebacker's like, fine, I'll stay with him and knock the ball away.
Yep.
And that's, oh, no, he's a wide receiver, really. Like, he, you know, this weapon and
well,
all the different
versions. Well, he stayed with him enough to make the play. Kincaid was pretty open.
He was open.
Allen just underthrew it and allowed the linebacker to make the play.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Any tight end that's given, like, sort of elite status or whatever you want to call what Kincaid has been, sort of how he's been anointed, is supposed to be able, you want the linebacker one-on-one.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, okay, missed the throw, but I don't know what was behind Kincaid on that play. Still, like, I can't blame the Bills for doing that. It's just, I don't think the Texans cared. Anyway, this is a good player. Made that play. He dropped the interception on the next play. 803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, postgame coverage. We will jump to Sean McDermott whenever he's ready to address the media. We have no idea when that will be. Sometimes it's like a long time. Sometimes it's immediate. You know, I'd want to get on the plane, but who knows? So just anybody especially calling in, be prepared. We might end up just sort of having to stop our conversation with you and go to him. That's how those are the rules. Let's go to Ben here. Hi, Ben.
Hey, I just think it's very difficult with seeing McDermott running, not having the like audacity to tell Brady, we have to run it 3 times. We have to run it 3 times and then go there to overtime, because the analytics just say it. It was just, it's ridiculous how he gets out of this, and he does it constantly.
What do the numbers say? Because I would love to know.
If you were down there with the timing left, if you ran it three times and then gave the ball back, he would have had maybe 5 seconds.
I disagree. It would have been about the same amount of time left, maybe even less.
I don't think so.
Well, do the math. It was 32 seconds when they took over and 21 when they punted.
And they had all three of their timeouts.
That's right, which they would have probably used.
They would have used on defense.
So
exactly, they would have used all three. And we were running the ball at 4 yards a carry. Yes, they would have thought we were going to bring the run. But the fact that they brought the pass and didn't even make them take their timeouts is just kind of it's idiotic to me.
Well, okay.
I would have run it three more times with Cook.
Of course, you're entitled to your opinion. Just don't use the math to defend it because the math doesn't really support it. Houston probably, what would teams do? You want the Bills to run? Great. If they get a first down, you're fine, but that's not a given. And if they don't, you have about as much time left as you had this way, I think.
What you wouldn't have is maybe the timeouts. If Houston used all three of them, which you could have forced them to do if you did run it three times. Look, I respect wanting to be conservative there, but for me, like, I've clobbered McDermott in other scenarios, last year in Philadelphia specifically, for being conservative and not giving Allen a chance to go win the game. And so I know, like, the optics look bad, and certainly the way it turned out, it looks like a terrible decision. But I've got Josh Allen as my quarterback, and there's time left. I'm going to try to move the ball. They could have easily gotten a flag on Houston instead of on Coleman, and now you're at the 35 or wherever that foul happened, and, you're kind of in business.
I think it's the 20.
Oh, wasn't that far up?
Yeah. So I think you need two more good plays after that, You're not getting beat in regulation if you make one play.
Right.
One of these passing plays, which I think that's the right point. I don't think the math really says this was terrible. It certainly doesn't insist upon it. What the problem is that against a team that is really just trying not to get killed by a 98-yard touchdown or a huge negative play against them, Houston's got to be pretty conservative there defensively, scheme-wise. And the Bills couldn't a screen pass. They couldn't figure out one way, especially after, I think, the Coleman play, Bulldog, where it's second down. And now you can be a little bit less go for the throat, if that's even it, right? Like, let's just get out of here.
Right.
And the offense, the play calling, the quarterback, the receivers put together could not execute. I mean, it looked bad. That third down pass, what's even happening there? Over the middle, I'm just... Yeah, that I think is the complaint. And that is sort of at the root of, at least for me, my issue with this whole thing.
Right.
Is, do you have what it takes to win? And right there, like, I know, it doesn't have to be Diggs, right? I'm not trying to pick a scab. But, like, Diggs is your guy there if he's on your team and then you're home. I mean, that's you're not home. You're to overtime. You know, I want to think a guy like that. And the Bills don't have a guy like that.
I mean, I think, look, again, I think it's entirely valid, considering how they looked all day on offense, to think that you're probably not going to be successful throwing it out of your end zone there. I was very nervous about a holding penalty back there, honestly, during that, because, I mean, that could have cost them the game right there. No need for a game-winning kick, because that's an automatic safety if it's flagged in the end zone, which it would have been. I mean, they were lined up, they were at the three-yard line. So the pass... So I get not wanting to be aggressive. Think about the light that would have shined on their team, on their offense, on their skill players. You've got Josh Allen at quarterback. I know you're at the 3 yard line, but I think if they turtle and just punt there, and we go to overtime and whatever happens, maybe they escape and nobody cares. But if they lose this game off of turtling there, I think we're screaming about being conservative, and you built a team with no go-to receivers when you needed them, when Josh Allen is your quarterback. So they were damned. They were damned if they did and damned if they didn't there, I think.
That's every coaching decision, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
if your guys are good enough, you have a faction of the fan base that blames McDermott for everything the Bills do wrong or every time they lose, and it's not always wrong to do that, I think, but... a lot of these times it could have been the same thing, but they executed, Allen bailed them out, whatever. And like you said, a key thing there in that we don't even remember Right. The play calls and the mistakes in games the Bills win, which easily could have been, this could have been one of those games. But it wasn't, so here we are. John is next. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. I got to agree with the last caller. I just don't think in that moment that was the right call. I know that there's analytics, but I don't know if the analytics took into consideration the fact that a lot of our receivers weren't catching the ball all day. Now, granted, Josh Allen, you know, wasn't as accurate today as he was most days, but my fear is that Josh Allen can't have a mediocre day, because in reality, there aren't really a lot of skilled players other than James Cook around him. Nobody today was really catching the ball overall. I mean, the stats will speak for themselves, and that really worries me. You know, I just think that with everything considered, going into the fourth quarter, you have to hand the ball off there. You have to, because nobody is overall is really catching the ball. And, okay, you want to have Tyler Bass try to make a what? You think he can make a 59-yard field goal? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You got to bank on James Cook, because he's giving you all those rushing yards. He's like his average rush, you know, he's getting 4 yards per carry. Why are you not handing off the ball right there?
Because that's not, you know, that good.
It's common sense.
That's the because it's not that good.
So they were trying to win the game.
I mean,
they were trying to win the game.
What year is it?
Okay, here's a scenario for you. Okay, I mean, I know this is sort of, this is like talking about football 101, I would say. Okay, they turtle there. The game goes to overtime. They lose in overtime because Houston wins the toss and they drive down and get a touchdown on you. And what are we talking about? We're talking about, I've got Josh Allen at quarterback and 30-some seconds left in a game, and I didn't try to do anything. I decided to play for a coin flip. So, look, I know how it turned out, and I also know how their offense looked all day, but I think you got to go. You got to go. You got to try to win the game there. I mean, we live in a town where we watch the Kansas City Chiefs drive into field goal range from, you know, their own 20 or 25 or whatever, you know, in the famous 13 seconds game. I got to go.
I agree. Steve is next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Alan, thank you for taking my call today.
You're welcome.
Before I talk about the problems we have at wide receiver, I know for like multiple years we've been saying, hey, we got to upgrade our wide receiver. But we always kept saying, hey, we got to get a better number two, you know, like when we had Diggs. Now we really don't even have a number one. I mean, Shakir's been the number one, but he's more of a slot guy. And today I was hoping Curtis Samuel or somebody else would have stepped up. So far, he's been a major disappointment. Matt Collins has been a major downgrade over Gabe Davis, which is hard to believe. I mean, Gabe and Mac, yeah, sure, they're both great blockers, but yeah, at least Gabe is catching a lot more balls. I mean, we should start calling Matt Collins hands of stone.
It's not hard to believe, Steve. There's no non-Bills fan that would be surprised.
Right.
There's no non-Bills fan that would be surprised, let alone find it hard to believe.
I think the idea of Mac Hollins starting for a contending level team in the NFL is hilarious.
It always has been.
It's a joke. The caller mentioned Shakir, and it should be pointed out as we're, you know, starting to go wild. We're ramping up to go wild here about the receivers, that Shakir did miss the game. And I think it's safe to say they missed him because he catches everything that's thrown his way. And maybe that would have been the case today. And maybe those are the easy button throws that we're missing. And so it's 3rd and 10, and I'm throwing it to Marquez Valdez-Scantling on a back shoulder at the sticks, a guy that has a reputation for having spotty hands. That's my go-to? That's terrible.
It's not great. 23-20 Houston, Bills 3-2, Jets 2-3, Dolphins 2-3, Miami wins in New England, New England 1-4. A couple of, you know, the Bills game was compelling. A couple of shootout, high-scoring, fun, close games in the AFC. Jacksonville beating Joe Flacco's Colts 37-34. Maybe not high impact in the standings. Baltimore at Cincinnati, behind all day, wins in overtime 41-38.
Oh, that's brutal.
The Ravens had the ball in overtime. Lamar Jackson fumbled it near midfield. Cincinnati went three plays into the line, right? Let's look. Hey, why didn't they try to win? They were like in outer field goal range. I think it was three runs. It just wasn't anything important, and they missed from 53. Derrick Henry busts one on the next play, and Justin Tucker chip shot to win it. So the Ravens now 3-2, the Bengals 1-4. We're waiting on Sean McDermott. It's, you know, what we do. Bills postgame, 23-20 Texans. Here's Andrew next. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking the call today.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Hey, so I called in after the Jaguars game and proclaimed that we had a case of weapons on offense. I would like to officially retract that statement. I might have gotten a little ahead of myself. And, I mean, the last 2 weeks have just been brutal. And then without Shakir out there today, it was tough to watch. So I know you guys have kind of beat the dead horse on that, but I just wanted to officially retract.
We're just getting started. We got to go wild. We're going to go wild. I'm only getting warmed up. It's only Sunday.
It's only Sunday.
Bills don't play till next Monday. I mean,
this horse has got a lot left, hopefully.
Yeah. It better. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to have to get a different horse.
I think it's, of course, valid, the Shakir point. You know, injuries happen.
Sure.
But he's been reliable and good, and maybe this is a different game if he plays. But just listen to that. As good as you might think he is, just listen to that. Oh, my God, the sky is falling if Khalil Shakir misses a game. Really? That's kind of how it looks at this point.
I think that's where they're at. Yeah. I think he's easily their most reliable and best player there. I mean,
he has to be.
Yeah. And so, you know, him not being there is tough. And then, you know, everybody else, you know, again, Allen had a very rough day. He was not accurate. But you had hands on balls there, you know. I'd want to look back at the long one to Hollins there and see just exactly what, like, it might have just been a case where that ball is just right over his head and he can't choose whether to turn left or right, and he ends up trying to haul it in like, I don't know, like Willie Mays running back to the center field wall at the Polo Grounds or something.
Wow.
And he looked like a guy that shouldn't be playing on the field on that play to me. I mean, I appreciate the great block he made on Keon Coleman's touchdown, but I need a guy that's going to catch the ball.
Allen has had, of course, very few starts in his career with single-digit completed passes, but today that happened. 9 completions in this game. You've got 3 other starts in his career where it's happened, one being last game of the season against the Jets where he came out early, but he started the game, and so that throw that out. You have a Jacksonville game when he was a rookie where he went 8-for-19. The Bills won that game. You almost want to throw that out, too, because it's his rookie season, and that was so uneven. You have last year's Dallas game where he went 7-for-15 for 94 yards, and Cook ran wild, and they won easily. That's it. I mean, in his career, those are the only games where he started, and he completed fewer than 10 passes. Who completes fewer than 10 passes? I mean, anybody. That's really something. Yeah. Let's go to David next. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. How's it going? How you doing?
Really good. Thanks.
Look, like, not to overreact. Like, I love Josh. He's a great player. He's more than proven his worth. But with where we're at right now, I mean, you would hope in year 7 that he'd be able to carry, like, a little bit here. It's a little concerning the last 2 weeks. It just really feels like he's not raising his level of play against these good teams. I just feel like you really needed a lot more out of him today. Didn't get it. I get his hands a little screwed up, but you kind of need him to run a little bit more. He was not on point today. Really just, I don't know. I just don't feel like he's meeting the moment right now. I'll hang up, listen. I get the receivers aren't playing well. I get Brady had a bad game. But just really wish we got a lot more out of Josh there. It was a little concerning.
Okay. Like, I accept that. I mean, I think he did not have a good day. But it's awfully tough when you've got a field full of guys who can't really separate and get open. It's going to be tough. So, like, the idea here is that he's going to be able to make that work. Because he's so good. Like, that's the bet, I think, that they're you know, that's the experiment. Can we get by with this receiving core because this guy is so good? I mean, today he's in the boat with everybody else. He wasn't good enough. It's tough. It's a tough ask. But he should, you know, he warrants being criticized for that performance.
Getting connected with the fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Next up is Jim. Hi, Jim.
Oh, I thought you said Sam. You're probably 5 and 2.
Jim?
Hello.
Hi.
Tim.
Go ahead.
Tim.
Okay. Probably our fault. Nick is next. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hi, I just, you know, I've been for a long time on the everyone eats, trust the process. I have been defending this team hands down. I think Brandon Bean generally is doing a good job. But I think after watching today, I am fully on that wide receiver train. It took me a while to get there, but you guys are right. We need someone who can get open and catch that damn ball. I know Josh looked bad today, but he looked bad because he couldn't throw it to anyone. And I, you know, we need a wide receiver, and I'm officially on that train. I hope anyone else who's been hesitant on it, and there's not a lot of us, will jump on with me.
There might be more people than you think. Most of them maybe work here, but, you know, you're not alone. There is a trade deadline. That's going to be...
Oh, yeah.
This week is going to be a lot of that. Davante Adams, Amari Cooper... the Raiders are playing now, but he's out of there. The Browns lost again, bad, to Washington. Like, that continues to find a new rock bottom, it seems, all the time, Cleveland. And so these are players who are, I think, both probably traded. And what do the Bills want to do? Can they make the money work? I don't know. With Cooper, it's more likely they can. Maybe it's obvious they can. I don't know. But Adams is tougher. But I have said that to do that really contradicts what the Bills' blueprint for this season has been. And as we talked, you and I talked about it last week, even after the Baltimore loss, didn't seem to me that enough had gone wrong yet. I mean, Shakir was, he hadn't missed a game yet, and they're 3-1. And everybody eats. You've got callers already multiple to this show today who are like, yeah, I'm sorry. 2 weeks ago, I was buying in, and I don't know. I want to write an apology letter. Like, it didn't seem last week to me that the situation was dire. And, you know, this is kind of what they're doing, so let's keep doing it. Is this game the one that tips that? 9 completions? It was a close game. It was winnable, but they lost. And... that's the question, I think, when it comes to the trade idea. If the money can work, which I always think it can, the question is, do the Bills want to pivot from what they've said and how they've acted all offseason about what kind of team they wanted to be? And I don't know. Maybe that answer isn't no.
Yeah, I got to think it's going to be a pretty informative film session, like sitting down and looking at this game. And I don't know, like, how they'll react to it. You know, they may if they want to find, like, oh, well, you know, we just missed this throw or that throw, and it was close, and, you know, we really, you know, we lost on a last-second 60-yard field goal, so it's not that bad. I mean, I don't know. You can talk yourself into anything you want. But I think questioning what they have at that position is only going to get louder. And frankly, if they'd won this game, I think the same questions would be valid. Because if they'd won this game, and some, you know, I guess somebody would have made a play, and maybe that would have you know, salvaged everything here. Certainly would have been nice to have the win in the standings on a day where you were pretty rancid on offense. But still, I think a game like that should tell you a lot about what you are lacking. And win or lose, I think that would have been the case after this game.
Frank is next. Hi, Frank. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I know other people called in talking about McDermott not running the ball there on the goal line. I don't think it was a bad decision to throw the ball at first. But I think that this was the straw that broke the camel's back with McDermott. And you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, but for years and years and years, every single time we are in a big game moment, the Bills' defense, even though they weren't that bad, they were good in the second half. They are terrible, and Josh saves us. Or we talk about the 13-second mishap. We talk about the Broncos game where they missed the field goal, but we had 12 men on the field. We talk about right before that, that penalty that just saved us to take them out of field goal range, anything. I think at this point, McDermott is a great coach for players to develop them in practice, but he is one of the worst game day coaches when it comes to making decisions. I think we can appreciate everything that he's done for our team, but nothing changes. If nothing changes, I think he is past all the chances we've given him, and I think he needs to be fired immediately at the end of the season, if not tomorrow. I'm over McDermott. I think he needs to go.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, we're waiting for Sean McDermott. We can't stop talking until he starts. So we will do this, though, because it's required by law. And a message to our network affiliates. Right now, 10 seconds to identify yourselves here on the Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, welcome back. Texans 23, Bills 20. Stephon Diggs in this game, it wasn't super high impact, but he led them in catches and yards. The Texans lose Nico Collins on the touchdown. Yikes. 67-yard touchdown happened. We'll tell you, I called that play with my son watching the game together. We're like, you know, if I'm Houston right now, let's hit him over the top. And that was the first play. But he leaves the game after that, ends up 2 for 78 and one. Diggs 6 for 82. And this is what Houston's been doing with him. It's easier when you have Collins, but Tank Dell got in the mix a little bit, you know, just underneath stuff mostly. And a couple of good catches. I mean, he's still able to help a team. Not trying to re-litigate why he's not on the Bills anymore, but, you know, he wasn't irrelevant in this game.
No, he wasn't. I mean, it wasn't any kind of a monster game, but 6 for 82, I mean, that would look pretty good on the Bills side of the ledger.
Yes. Bills leading receiver was 2 catches today.
Yeah.
Coleman 1 for 49 and 1. Kincaid 2 for 34. Jeff next. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing, guys? So, to the last caller's point, being done with McDermott, like, I'm just going to say this now. I'm not – he wants to criticize them about play calling and about the defense. Like, come on. The defense held them to 6 points in the second half, and they're hurt. I'm going to give them a pass because I feel this game is more so on the offense. I feel that it was terrible play calling. Yes, you have receivers that cannot get open, you know, in a one-on-one situation. But the plays that they caught today was, like, schemed for them to be open. Dalton Kincaid on the crosser, where he caught it, ran up to the 5, Cook ran in for a touchdown. Where was that play being dialed up on that late, on the third, on that late in the game, in the fourth quarter when we're in the end zone? Where was that? Most of these plays were deep shots, one-on-one, trying to beat someone, you know, over the top.
Yeah, I think the answer is because they're not really looking to sustain a drive there. They have 32 seconds to go. They've made the decision to try to win it. I don't blame them. The first play is on the sideline. They're out of timeouts. Okay, I don't need crossing routes. Crossing routes aren't going to help me. I need a penalty. I need the sideline. I need a break. So that's Coleman. That's his bread and butter, that kind of catch. It ends up incomplete, gets a penalty that gets declined anyway. Then I'm going deep, right? Second down is long to Hollins.
Yep.
And at that point, if I've already decided, you can change your mind, but I'm still thinking, the Bills are still thinking, go win it. That play, if it's completed, they do probably win the game. It's not. So third down is, I don't know, like you could give up on the plan at this point and run it. I don't think you save much time. Houston has the timeouts, you know, to their credit. They didn't waste them. So they will call timeout immediately once they stop the running play. If they do, if it's not a first down, you're punting anyway. So third down over the middle. Now you just want the first down. You want to get out of there. You know, you wanted the Kincaid play would have been maybe most appropriate on third because all you want by then is probably just to not lose.
Right. You're not. You're. Yeah. I mean, by that point in time, by the time you get up there and spike it, you have so little time left. Like, if you're even trying to do that, what you're trying to do is just avoid punting at that point. You're trying to avoid giving them the ball back. So you hit that pass, you're not in business, but you're going to overtime, most likely, is what's happening if you hit that pass. The other two were tries to get a flag, or you obviously hit the pass if you can. And look, I don't think it's preposterous at all, just so it's clear here, to argue that they should have knelt or just, you know, whatever. I said it as turtling, right? Not tried to move the ball and just run it and kicked and hope that Houston runs out of time. Like, there's merit to that. But, again, like, with that quarterback and letting the game come down to a coin flip, I'm gonna try to move the ball, and once I throw it once, I think you're pretty much pot committed, because you really, if you were gonna run it to try to run clock and make them burn timeouts, you got to do it all three downs, and so you know you can support that idea and be critical of them for going for it. I just think it's interesting that it's like the reverse criticism that we usually hear about McDermott. And the Bills in general, or really it's him specifically, that he has too much faith in his defense and not enough faith in his offense and not enough faith in his quarterback, and that he isn't going to be aggressive in a situation like that, and he's gotten beat doing that. So he got beat today doing the other thing, and, you know, again, I appreciate that being, a criticism. I support what they did, but I'm not blind to it. I mean, especially the way the game had gone to that point. I mean, I've already said, like, I wanted them to do it, but I wasn't optimistic about it working because I didn't know who was going to get open.
Right. Let's go to Jesse next. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Welcome to the longest radio segment in history.
Listen.
You're a part of history.
I'm glad I could help out. Listen, I've been thinking about this for a little while, and I want you to tell me if I'm crazy or not. So I think we're all hoodwinked here by the Buffalo Bills PR team. I think that being by, we lost all these guys because of salary cap madness, and now the PR team comes out, and they convince us that all these guys are probably practice squad guys, but all of a sudden we think that there are starting guys, and we think we're going to win the AFC.
Who are a couple of these players?
Oh, my God. All the wide receivers. DeMar Hamlin is not a starter. DeMar Hamlin is a practice squad guy.
Well, he's a backup.
Most of these guys Baylen Spector. Baylen Spector shouldn't be on the field. He should be filling the water.
He's also a backup. Right. He's also a backup.
Am I crazy? Please help me.
I don't think you're crazy. I mean, what is you can't really mean the PR team, because what is their job? I don't consider myself hoodwinked. I thought exactly the kind of the same way about what you're talking about. You know, maybe your friends didn't, but yeah, I mean, the overall narrative outside of the Bills, or outside of the fan base, at least, not entirely, a lot of fans feel the same way, like yourself, is that they're asking a lot from their receiver core, which is not an accomplished group. And really, you're talking about Hamlin or Spector, that's more out of necessity. You know, like, they had turnover on defense. They've had injuries on defense. So that happens to teams, and it's not their fault. So I don't really blame the Bills for that. And 2 weeks ago, everybody was in love with how, like, they seemed injury-proof because Trevor Lawrence couldn't complete a pass. And, you know, like, they were Hamlin's picking off Lawrence. They're doing fine. It's, you know, this is the NFL. This is what happens, sort of. So, yeah, your backups probably should get you in trouble. And at receiver, I mean, what did I say all summer? Like, they have six slot receivers, and their best guy missed the game. And they don't know what to do with Kincaid. I mean, even on their good days, he's not even running as many routes as Knox. So they haven't figured out, two offensive coordinators in, they haven't figured out what to do with him. And, you know, there are varying degrees of blame here when it comes to these kind of situations. That's one where that's more organizational, you know? Like, this should have been – Kincaid was advertised as Ken Dorsey's pick. And then he was fired because the Bills had too many men on the field for a field goal. Does that have to work? You know, does that have to work?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not blaming Kincaid. I feel like I still want to say I think he's good. But they're not getting anything out of him that justifies being picked in the fourth round.
They have not figured out how to spring him at all yet. No, that's absolutely right. You know, it's nice to see him running downfield routes. It'd be even nicer if Allen could have put that ball in a spot where it could have been an easy touchdown, maybe. But, you know, instead, the linebacker's close enough to get a hand on it, and that's that. Yeah, look, they had the start to this game was obviously really tough. And Cole Bishop was absolutely torched on the long touchdown. I mean, it's an elite player, but you saw Douglas react the way Douglas reacted when that play got, you know, to its conclusion. He's looking around like, where were you, dude? What happened to you? You're supposed to be here. At least that's the way I read it. I could be mistaken. Maybe Bishop was asked to do something else on that, but it sure looked like he blew it. He had a tough start. The whole defense had a tough start, but they also allowed 3 field goals after the first quarter.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good job.
Good point. I hate to be, like, human, but I actually need a break. So Sean McDermott's going to start talking whenever, and so let's risk it. What do you think?
I say go for it.
You stick around, Bulldog, just in case. I'll hurry back. I mean, 40 minutes. 23-20 Texans, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with post-game coverage continuing. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Stroud fakes, pumps, pocket collapsing, he fumbled the football. Dorian Williams jumped on it, it's still loose. Do the Bills have it? Yes, they do, says the referee. Dorian Williams all over the football. DeJuan Smoot forced the fumble.
That was a strip sack of C.J. Stroud that put the Bills in great shape late in this game, deep in Houston territory with an opportunity to take a lead there, down 3 points at the time, and they ended up having to settle for a field goal. They took over at the Houston 15 after that turnover. Great job by Smoot to get a hand on that, and of course Williams, you know, right there to fall on it and secure the turnover. But from there, it's, what do we got? James Cook for no gain, incomplete pass. Allen had been out during the ensuing Houston possession there, the preceding Houston possession, came back in, but the Bills just were not able to get anything done there. Incomplete pass to Samuel, and we're kicking a field goal from the 15-yard line to tie the game, and we know how it ended.
Allen referred to his injury as a chest injury, and maybe also an ankle injury, but at least a chest injury. And I don't know, are you buying that?
Boy, he really looked like he hit his head hard on the turf.
Twice.
And that, right. And then when he rolled over, I thought maybe he was out for a second.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
I mean, he sounded fine. I didn't really notice anything, in how he performed there at the end. I mean, he didn't do much. He didn't hit anything. He didn't hit any passes or anything. But I hope he's okay. I thought for sure that was a head injury when it happened.
I didn't know that. I guess I could have assumed it or guessed, but that players can just decide not to go to the blue tent. Like Aaron Rodgers today kind of did the same thing. This morning he was hurt and like, no, I'm not hurt. I'm not going in. And that's what Allen did. He did miss one play. Maybe that was, I don't know if that was like symbolic or what was that supposed to signify? He was not leaving the game.
He did eventually go in the tent. So, they talked to him on the sidelines, and I think that probably, hey, we got the ball back. We're done here.
Yeah, okay. Same.
What happened there.
I stand by my my inquiry. Just, yeah. I think, you know, there are times when maybe that's not so strict. It's just
maybe
vague. We've not heard from Sean McDermott yet, but plan is that we will. I'm not going to the end of the world, but that's just me. I mean, I don't know. If you ask him about injury, it's been an hour. He's going to tell you that he hasn't talked to anybody yet. So he probably doesn't know. We'll see if that is wrong. Jake is next. Hi, Jake.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Thank you, Jake.
Good. I've got a quick personnel question, I guess. I mean, going into week 5, I feel like NFL teams have a relatively good idea of what they are, what their foundations are. I look at the Bills team, and I really don't know. I mean, do we kind of
go all in on the run? Do we kind of supply on Josh? I mean, in a world where I feel like you got to visualize your success, you plan for it, and then go out and execute. I mean, walking in Tuesday morning, a part of the Bills team, like, what are you looking forward to? What do we got to get back to? What do we got to do to get back on this red plan?
You're asking us?
Oh, yeah, I'm asking you guys.
Oh. Well, I don't know. Like, to me, this is kind of the team they wanted. I mean, this was spread the ball around. We're happy that guys don't care about stats. James Cook. I don't know. Like, I don't think they're really off the rails. They're not that good offensively, but I don't think that it's either that surprising or that things are that different from what
possible to me that they'll look at this game being as competitive as it was.
Sorry, Bulldog. Here's Sean McDermott.
Just not enough in the end, and that's on me. The end of game situation on offense. We needed to. We're a tough situation. Three timeouts. They're holding three timeouts. I got a good field goal kicker. We needed to run the clock and move the chains, and that's on me. We didn't do that there, and that's my fault.
John, were you on board with the three play calls, the three passes in that situation?
I'm not going to get into that. I don't think that's relevant right now, Sal. Overall, again, that's on me. So we just got to do a better job. I got to do a better job in that situation.
John, is that a situation where if you throw it once, you're going to throw it three times? Or if you run it once, you're going to run it three times, because even if you leave them with one timeout, that's all they needed in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about holding three timeouts, where we were, they've got a really strong leg field goal kicker. We knew that. Now, there's a potential, if the situation goes three straight runs, you're running 6 seconds off potential each time, and you're maybe in a similar situation, So either way, we got to do a better job, and that starts with me. 100%.
Is there something to the idea, though, that if it's going to go one way or the other, have it go one way or the other with 17 with the ball in his hands?
I love Josh with the ball in his hands. I do. Again, efficient offense was the right approach there, and I didn't have us do that. So again, we learned from that. Tough situation. They're holding three timeouts. Like I said, they got a good field goal kicker, and you go back and forth, I probably should have run it on the first play and just said, hey, where are we now? Either way, we're probably going to have to move the chains one time, right, to not give them a chance. But again, those are situations, and that's on me.
Last play of taking the 10-second runoff on the intentional ground.
We did. Yeah, we did. And again, we talked about it after the game. You don't know where that punt's going to land. The punt goes in the end zone. We're at the 20 and we got a chance, right? So, or do they, because of their kicker, do they hang on and run the clock down and try and do something on the last play? So, again, situational football. Again, that's all me. And I thought we had opportunities in the game. I really did. I thought the defense with the guys that were playing out there really battled out there. Just overall, not enough production on first down as an offense, not enough third down, really manageable third downs to convert and move the chains and keep the pressure on their defense. And so we got to do a better job there.
Last play of
I don't know. I'll have to look at the film, Joe. I just feel like overall maybe we're too much down the field. I thought some of the getting the ball out, I think it was some in the second quarter, maybe some in the third as well. I thought that was effective for us, and it just seemed like maybe we were looking down the field. I don't know. I got to look at the film and just feel. We talked about it at halftime, and we knew first down wasn't good for us. And then when you talk about third down, 3 of 14 with the average yards to go, eight yards plus, that's not healthy.
John, to Joe's point, you had 18 targets to your wide receivers, just 4 catches. Everybody knew with Khalil out that it was going to be an opportunity for somebody to step up. How troubling is it that you didn't see any of that production kind of made up for him?
Yeah, I would have hoped for more. Honestly, I'm sure those guys feel the same way.
Last The last scrimmage play before the field goal, it looked like the defense was confused. There was nobody in the middle of the field, for instance. You know what happened there?
Yeah, what we had was we were trying to go nickel defense, and Dorian was on the side. We didn't have the communication we needed right there, and so because of that, he was late onto the field and getting the call in that situation.
Sean, was there a common thread that they were able to come to the line of 36 plus tonight?
On their side, yeah. You know, we had a mental on one of the third downs. I think it was third and five in the first quarter that led to their first score. And then, you know, they did some good things just with making some good throws. And I thought we made some plays defensively when we needed to make them and the guys battled. And, you know, we've got to look at those third downs overall. And when you get a team in a third down, you got to win those situations.
Sean, back-to-back weeks offensively, first half struggles, get things going third quarter. Have those slow starts been more about what you guys have not been doing or more of maybe what your opponents have?
You know, I'll know more again when I have a better look at the film, John. I think overall, you know, I feel like, to your point, we've been a little bit off our game from what we executed in the first three games. And so that's when I get a chance to turn the film on, that's what I'm going to be looking for.
Just look at how the game finished. It seems pretty clear that after the turnover at the 15, not cashing the touchdown. I mean, that would have probably changed the outcome of the game.
Opportunities. Again, that's we I think we had two takeaways. I know we got the ball, I think in the first quarter, we had a three and out, got the ball to maybe the minus 40, not plus 49 for us, you know, almost 50 yards. Just opportunities overall. Thought there were some opportunities. That being said, I thought our offense came back in the second half and battled. And so, again, just not enough overall as a team. The punt return before half was 3 points. Their punt return. So all of it adds up when you're in that tight of a game.
At the end of the first half, there was that catch by Dalton that did you think it was ruled incomplete? Did you think about challenging that?
I did, yeah. And the information I got, it's, you know, on that side, I didn't get a replay. And the information I got was that the ball had hit the ground. So that's what we went with.
Two tough ones on the road, another one coming up. Yeah. Where are your guys now? Where do you think everybody is now after the, you know, two tough ones like this?
Yeah, I mean, they're down. You know, there's no moral victories. I did like how they battled, you know, to battle back after getting down like we did. Got a lot of young guys out there, in particular on the defensive side, playing and battling, giving us great effort on all three phases, really. So, you know, the margins in the NFL are slim. And, you know, we got to continue to work to improve ourselves, get some guys healthy at some point here. I think that would help. And yet, that's not an excuse. We got to find ways to pull these out.
Josh was 9-30 tonight. You talked about missed opportunities. You had Mac a couple of times early, Dalton maybe once over the middle. Do you feel like he's trusting what he's seeing right now? And just how would you assess his overall performance tonight?
Are you talking about Mac or Josh? Josh. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he wants that throwback that you referenced, Jay. And Josh is a great player. So, you know, take the ball in Josh's hand anytime. And you know, the fourth and five that we went for, it was a great throw, great catch, great run after catch by Keon. So Josh is a warrior, man. He got, you know, took a pretty good hit out there and came back for his team and his teammates. All right, thanks, guys.
Sean McDermott, the Bills lose in Houston 23-20. A lot to talk about from this one. 3-2, two straight losses at the Jets next Monday night. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with more post-game discussion after this. This is Buffalo Bills football.
One on the play clock. Here's the snap. Back to pass, and it's complete to Coleman. Gets away from the tackler. 35-30, 25-20, 15-10, 5, and he somersaults into the end zone for a touchdown. 49 yards. The rookie sticks it in the end zone.
That the big passing game highlight on a tough day for Josh Allen and the Bills wide receivers, tight ends too. Eye on the Quarterback is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business, is protecting your business. That was on 4th and 5, by the way.
Yeah.
If you're scoring at home.
Cool.
It's one of those things that'll get lost in the wash because they lost the game. But, you know, another one of these, you know, midfield fourth down calls that McDermott just went ahead and went for it. I mean, they were down. I think it was definitely warranted, and it worked.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog. Tough timing for Marcus. Marcus, I was ready to go to you to be able to say something about that play, from what I'm told. That play is interesting to you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look at Sean McDermott and the way that he always kind of plays the game. I was super surprised that he went for it on fourth and five. It was a definite plus that they scored the touchdown. But again, like for me, where is Keon Coleman been, really? I mean, they don't really go to him a lot, so I'm kind of concerned there. A couple of other points that I kind of wanted to make here is that, that shot that Allen took and he went down, he was out. He was out. I mean, I cannot even believe that he actually came back into that game. And that's the thing is that, when you look at the team that we have right now, okay, without a wide receiver one, all right, it's concerning to me. I mean, Shakir not being in there definitely was an issue. And what if Allen would have gotten hurt? Okay, I mean, do you think Trubisky can go in and win a game? And also, if the Bills would have came out with a win on this, who should have gotten the game ball? Robert Woods. I mean, why do you even field the ball, okay, the way that you did? I mean, thank you so much. All right, we had every opportunity to win this game, and we just sort of, came up short. I really think we definitely should have made some better choices there, but I'll hang up and I'll see what you guys have to say. Thanks.
Nice return at the end though. Woods. Or was that not him? I think it was him. The last Bills punt, final seconds.
Yeah, I think that was him. Yeah. I mean, they got what they needed there. They got what they needed there.
It said on the screen, Tanner screened Marcus and said, like, how about give McDermott credit for the fourth and five, the Coleman play? Where has Coleman been? I don't know. He was the eighth receiver picked in the draft. He's a rookie and he has 9 catches in 5 games. Is that bad? This is what I thought would happen. I don't know. This is what I thought, exactly what I thought would happen. All of it. They could have won the day. A couple of decisions, a couple of bounces. They could have won the day. They did. They'd be 4-1. They're not. What?
I didn't make a sound. What?
I know,
what?
But I thought maybe what? It was your turn.
Sorry. Well, sure it is. Sorry. I was looking to
watch the Seahawks.
Woods. No, I'm not. I don't even have a game on.
I'm watching the Seahawks.
I'm too focused on going wild, Mike.
Oh,
I want to be. I'm gearing up.
I mean, the caller said he thought Josh Allen was knocked out on that hit. I don't want to argue with him. It looked that
I thought the same thing.
It looked that way to you. I mean, I thought the same thing. You never know. We're not on the field. Do star players, quarterbacks, I don't know where the line is drawn, but do they supersede the system, the process for injuries? Of course they do. Of course they do in all sports. Of course they do. So what? I'm not going to lose sleep trying to figure out what that was. The Bills are definitely not going to tell you. He went back on the field, and whether he was affected by that, short-term, long-term, I couldn't say. But it's definitely different rules for different guys. Same thing with the Jets this morning. Rodgers waved off the doctors, went back on the field. Come on. You're not going to stop him.
Right.
Let's take another call. We have Bob next. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. We were at the game this afternoon in Houston, and, man, it was hard to watch the offense. Just, it's so apparent that C.J. Stroud didn't have to be Superman. Third and eight, he's got digs, just beyond the sticks, bang. Hits him for an easy throw, standing in the pocket. And all the time, just somebody open with three receivers. That throw to Nico Collins down the field, my gosh. We just don't have that. And it's so frustrating. It's almost like dereliction of duty, having a guy that we've got, and he's got nobody to throw to. I mean, watching Matt Collins try to run down the field, holy cow. It's like a Clydesdale trying to clop down there. He just can't get there. He can't beat anybody. Anyways, I'm just frustrated after being there, but I'm on the wide receiver train, have been for a while. I want to see it go, man.
Thanks, Bob. He also has Dare Ogunbowale when he needs him out of the backfield for a nice, neat little third down. Dalton Schultz. Yeah, I mean, that's a coaching area, right? I mean, it's personnel, but it's also figuring out ways to get easy throws to move the sticks.
Yeah, how many times today? What did Houston end up? 7 of 14 or something on third downs in the game. They were right around 50% all day. I didn't look at the final numbers, but it's probably around that, give or take one either way. And that's just tough. I mean, how many times were you watching, going, "All right, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 8. Yeah. All right, like get a big moment here, get a stop, and it's 12 yards." And I agree with that. It seemed pretty easy. Like they you know, Stroud knew where to go. With the ball in those situations, and they just kept, you know, even though they didn't pile up points, I mean, I said it earlier, I mean, they gave up 14 in the first quarter and then 3 field goals the rest of the way. So they buttoned up, but Houston just kept the ball. They just kept, you know, even though they weren't scoring, they extended drives and made it tough on the Bills.
8 Texans players caught at least 2 passes in this game. No Bills player caught more than 2. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog will have more post-game discussion after this. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog getting connected with the fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. We've got time for maybe one more. Right, Bulldog?
All right, sure.
Here's Neil. Hi, Neil.
So whichever one of you said that you want to go on a wild ride, I'll get started on the wild ride, because this Pollyannic, rose-colored crap is nonsense. Let's call this for what it is. This is a failure of the general manager of this team to adequately replace our wide receivers with competent starting wide receivers. Mac Hollins is a fourth, at best, a 4 in the depth chart. Keon Coleman can't get separation from anybody. Curtis Samuel is probably the inspector gadget of this team because he can't do anything. I mean, this is utter nonsense. And what makes it even worse is this. Our defense played and had heart beyond its talent. But Damar Hamlin's not a safety in the NFL. He's not a starting strong safety. Half the guys on our team should not be starting on NFL rosters. And this all goes back to coaching. Sean McDermott is not the coach for this team, whether it's 13 seconds, the 2 games where the Miami, they blew the time there, this game, his coaching decisions, this head coach is not going to get us to where we need to go. And Joe Brady, for what it's worth, has lost whatever goodwill he built up from the remnants of the Ken Dorsey era with that crappy trick play last week and this play calling. And as far as I'm concerned, when you have 3 out of 4 things in your franchise out of whack, I don't care if we beat the Jets twice. I don't care if we beat the Patriots twice. If we backdoor into the playoffs and get bounced in the first round, it doesn't mean anything. And we're back to the exact same place with the Bills. Good, but just not good enough. Thank you.
For what?
You're welcome.
Oh, for listening,
well,
yes.
Well done.
I don't know
well
how
done.
Having 6 to 8 players who are not good enough to play means you have bad coaching, but I'll find that out next week, perhaps. 51-20, the Bills' record over the last 4-plus years. Yeah, well, I don't know. I think there are some people who enjoy the Bills, you know, win or lose. There are people that sound like they only want the Bills to lose so they can just lose their minds, and that somehow is cathartic and feels better. I don't know if that's Neil, but I guess it's possible. 23-20 Houston. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, back with more, and we'll get to the locker room next. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog go to the locker room now and hear from Greg Rousseau. Player interviews brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
59-yard field goal. That's a tough one to lose.
Yeah, it's tough, but it happens, though. It's part of the game. It's a long season.
Early in the game, what was the problem on defense? I mean, they moved down the field twice on you there in the first half. It looked like it was a pretty big struggle. What was going on?
There's a lot of, like, screen and draw and stuff, so we just, you know, we just got to just be better.
Pass rush, was it satisfactory to you today, or does it need to be better?
I feel like it really picked up in the second half, and I feel like we were playing the game we wanted to play in the second half, but in the first half, the screens are hurting us, like, because you're trying to rush, throwing screens every other pass play, and so then you're trying to rush, and then on a play where it's not a screen, you're like ready to react to the screen, and it's actually a drop back pass, so it's like we weren't like on defense. Our goal on defense is to make them one dimensional, and we were kind of like two dimensional because we were guessing like run, pass, screen. Obviously they were in the lead. It was like 14, whatever, and then 17, whatever. So it's got to come out, start fast next week.
It seemed like you guys were getting pretty close to CJ, but not getting him down to the ground a little bit early in the game. What changed a little bit later? How you're able to affect him a little bit more?
Just our fundamentals, just being able to collapse the pocket and then just get hits in on him. We got a lot of hits on him in the second half for sure. I mean, we're just rushing a lot better. I know I could have rushed better in the first half, but you know what I'm saying? It's over now. Next week, you know?
When you lose a couple in a row like this, how do you rally the troops and get it back on track?
Just falling back on our training, our fundamentals. I mean, it's a long season. Like, you're gonna lose games sometimes. Like, just worry about the process, practice hard, do whatever you gotta do in the building to get the result you want on Sunday. But you can't worry about the result. We lost by 3, I think. So it happens. It's a toss up. NFL is just part of the game.
And that's all for us. Mike Shope and the Bulldog. Next week we'll have pregame, but it'll be Bills Jets from the Meadowlands, week 6, next Monday night. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your night. This is Buffalo Bills football.